Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, and welcome to the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Carla Long, and today we're going to be talking about something that happens every 3 years in Community of Christ. It's a very exciting time for us. It is World Conference. Yay! Oh, I know everyone on this podcast is excited about it. I was just waiting for thunderous applause because people, that's how excited people get about this. So on the show today, I have two of the directors, the only two directors, right, of World Conference. We have Susan Naylor and Tammy Lindell. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Susan and Tammy.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking us.
So tell us about yourself.
Oh, well, I'm Susan Naylor, and I work for Community of Christ. I'm currently the co-director with Tammy of World Conference, and then I will be working with Formation Ministries, Worship, Leadership Development, and some other things after World Conference, working with Apostle Janae Grover, and so it's kind of a new adventure. We don't have much detail on that, but I've worked for Community of Christ 30 years. It's been quite a journey, and I've been through a number of world conferences, and so everyone is different, and it's exciting to be working on the 2019.
Susan, how many have you directed?
Maybe four.
Wow.
So, and when they're out every 3 years, you know, that spreads out. So I know I've done at least four.
Oh, wow. And it's a really big job. Listeners, if you don't know, like, they start planning for World Conference 2 years in advance, 3 years in advance, something like that.
Usually right after the last one finishes, you know, there's an evaluation which starts the process for the next one.
Oh, my goodness. Gosh. Well, thank you for being with us, Susan. Tammy, what about you?
Hello. My name is Tammy Lindell Lewis, and I am serving as co-director of World Conference. This will be my second year to be assisting with the director team at conference. And I also serve the church in formation ministries with a disciple formation team primarily. And part of my job includes tracking projects for publication. So that would be like reunion resources for all ages, and lesson plans for all ages. So I do copy editing and project management, and now splitting my time with World Conference planning.
Gosh, you both are incredibly busy people. And Tammy, I'm so sorry, you're Tammy Lindell Lewis. I got to remember that. You've been Tammy Lindell for such a long time, I got to remember the Lewis part. Sorry about that.
I added the Lewis, interestingly enough. The day World Conference 2016 ended, I got married, so it's relatively new to me as well.
That's right. The day it ended, you crazy, crazy woman. Well, it is wonderful to have you both on the podcast. Thanks so much. So for all of those people who have never been to World Conference, who are very curious about what that's like, can you just tell us about what World Conference is? Like, what happens there and why we come together?
Well, we come together to worship. We come together to conduct the business of the church that keeps the church as an organization running. And we come together as a conference to talk about the mission and what is important. And we come together so we can go back out to share Christ's mission with the rest of the world. I think the most exciting thing, you know, when people say, what is your favorite part about conference? It's the people. It really is the people who come from all over the world. You know, the church is represented in more than 50 nations, and we will have during the week at least 40 of those countries represented. It all depends on visas, but it's the people. It's the people coming together, and we have in the auditorium, if you've seen pictures, you know, the giant auditorium chamber, you know, 5,000, 4,000 people when it's filled. And we're all singing, or we're all praying, or we're all sharing together, listening to one another. There's an electricity for me that is so cool. What else do you want to know?
So what happens there? Like what fills up the week?
The week, it's like I said, it's worship services. We start, one of the prime worship services that many people look forward to is the communion service, where there's, 4,500 people who are sharing in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. During the week, the flag ceremony, the roll call of nations, we will have, you could call it a legislative meeting, we could call it a business meeting, but we will deliberate, we will talk about the business of the church, we will listen to financial reports, which I know are Carla's favorite.
I love them!
But it's important. I mean, all of that is very important, because when we talk about a holistic stewardship, it takes those financial reports and worship and learning together. We will have opportunity for lunch and learns. I'll ask Tammy to talk about that here in a minute. That people can, between those business sessions, we all have to eat. And so you can grab a brown bag lunch. And during each of the days, there will be a variety of things to go and learn about. There is a program for kids that are first grade through sixth grade, I believe, that we call Conference Kids, that helps our kids, learn, why do we do conference? And they have their own little conference experience through the week. It also helps parents who are delegates to have a place for their kids to go that are learning about the church too. It's testimonies, it's receptions where we get to meet people of like interests. There's music, there's choirs from around the world. On Friday evening is the International Hymn Festival, where literally you just feel like the roof is going to come off the room when everybody is singing together. And Tammy, what am I missing?
Well, conference also is a time to hear the direction from world church leaders. I think Susan mentioned it about, exploring our mission, but sometimes at conference, we get new leaders as people retire or switch positions. So that's always exciting, is to welcome the new incoming folks, but also to celebrate the ministries of people who are retiring or stepping out of roles. So we do some honoring of people and their service, which is nice to have the church do that. This particular conference, we will be celebrating awarding the International Peace Award to two recipient organizations. So that's another thing that's exciting for us this time.
And along with that Peace Award, we give us a fairly substantial amount of money, right, to those organizations?
Yes. I think it's varied over the years from time to time, and this award, I think we have $25,000 for each award organization, and it's lovely. We don't often honor more than one person every few years, so this one is nice to be able to have two together.
That is interesting. That's pretty wonderful. Susan, you mentioned the different choirs. Like, I always look forward to Sunday morning communion service during conference, because I don't know if it happens every single time, but it feels like the people from French Polynesia usually sing. And I just feel like transported to an island. Like, when I hear them, I just love it so much. That's something I really look forward to.
Yes. I think they're singing. You're right. Just kind of transports you. And it also, it doesn't matter whether, obviously they're not singing in English, but that doesn't matter, because you join in the spirit of the song, and it just opens up a whole different part of the world to us. And so that's exciting. I do believe the French Polynesians are singing on Sunday evening during the first presidency service. And like Tammy was talking about, new general officers or others. On Sunday evening is also the time that usually President Vizi brings a message to the church. And I believe in the January, February Herald, he was mentioning that address, and that he is, he's addressing the whole church regarding how God is calling us to respond in rather significant ways. And that this is a pivotal time in the life of the church. And so people, you know, that is a, they're all significant worship experiences, but people really do look forward to hearing President Vesey and his inspiration and where he's leading us as a church.
Yeah, that Sunday evening service has always been a really important one. Always important. So we you talked a little bit about lunch and learns, and you mentioned that, Susan, but Tammy, could you tell us a little bit more about maybe some different lunch and learn opportunities that we could try?
Sure. So started last conference, we decided that we needed some educational opportunities for people to engage in. And it was very well received. And so we decided to expand those opportunities for this conference. And so what the Lunch and Learn is a time between 12:30 and 1:30 each day. So it will be that during that lunch break, Monday through Thursday, actually. And we have people from all over the world offering different things. So for an hour, you can grab a brown bag lunch, head off to one of the rooms that you find of interest and learn about something different or new from that part of the world. So we have, you know, four or five different sessions that will help us understand a little bit more about Latter-day Seeker ministry, for instance. We've got several sessions that are from around the world, people sharing ideas of ministry that they've been doing in their area and offering ways for people to learn about it so that they can take on those learnings as well. Sometimes we'll have people from World Church teams who are sharing information with the church that comes out of things that happened the previous conference. So for instance, this conference, we'll be talking a few different places about peace in Israel and Palestine and what needs to happen between there. So there's just several interesting things moving us forward, points of interest. You know, there's a session called The Future of the Church in Africa, which might be really wonderful to attend, and another one called Blending of Christ and Culture through Poetry, Song, Dance, and More, and that's from our Pacific Island folks. So I'm excited about this.
Oh, I believe there's also one about Project Zion podcast, but, you know, I'm just not sure about that. But I'm assuming for people who are listening to this, they probably don't need to come. They probably already know all about us.
It never hurts to do a little self-promotion.
Is that what I'm doing?
Well, it is amazing that it's going to be helpful to help the church understand what's happening in the ministries that you offer through Project Zion podcast and some of the other ministries that take place. And so I'm excited that your team is offering so many sessions this time so that the church can learn.
It sounds like there's a lot of really cool opportunities at the Lunch and Learns. That's something I've never taken advantage of before because I feel like I was always hosting lunches or something like that, but I really hope I can get a chance to do that this year. That sounds great. So let's switch gears just a little bit. I know, Susan, you mentioned your favorite thing about World Conference is the people, and that's so true. Like, people hate walking with me because I stop every 5 feet and say, hi. Yeah. Do you have any other favorite things about World Conference that you look forward to?
That's a hard one, Carla.
I do, while she's thinking.
Good, Tammy, go for it.
I enjoy the people as well. It's conference week is the most exhilarating and exhausting week, all at the same time. But I truly love when we sing together. And, you know, we all love him singing in our congregations, but to come together in the conference chamber or in the temple sanctuary with the other worshipers there from around the church and singing some traditional songs, singing some new hymns that are new to us, that grabs me in a special way.
Yeah, now that we have like the Community of Christ Sings, where we have a lot of different songs and a lot of different languages, it will be, and we've had it for 5 years now, so we had it in the 2016 conference too, but we know the songs better now. So maybe we'll be able to sing in a different language a little bit more together. That is exciting. Thanks for reminding me of that. That sounds exciting.
Right. So I think two things that I really look forward to, and like Tammy said, the singing is one of them. But I particularly, there's something about the roll call of nations and seeing all the flags, you know, not from a perspective of one country is better than another or there are dividing walls, but it's really like the hymn says, there are walls that divide us, but there is so much more that brings us together. And so when I see the flags, when I see people stand up to represent where they came from, and especially because we will have people, I was talking with Medora Graffio, not Medora, Emily Penrose McLaughlin, who said she was going to represent one of the countries in Africa this time because they wouldn't have enough people, and she has lived in Africa and has that experience to see how we care for our brothers and our sisters in so many different ways and to care enough to help represent. That's really cool. And the other thing for me is when small groups get together, like you said, you can't walk down a sidewalk without stopping every 5 feet. I love, as a director, I will in the evening when there's young adult activities or junior senior high, or I know there's a reception going on, I will try and get by a couple of those just to see what's going on and see how people are enjoying themselves. And it's just so much fun to watch people meet new friends, meet people that maybe they've only heard on a Project Zion podcast, or they've only met through Facebook, and they actually get to see them in real life. And so I'm afraid I just keep coming back to the people. And then it's always the unexpected, you know. I mean, last conference, someone pulled the fire alarm while we were in the legislative session. That has never, as far as we know, has never happened.
That's right before lunch, wasn't it?
Yes, so yeah. We had to evacuate the chamber. But you know what happens when we have the unexpected? It's amazing to watch people come together and help one another and just do what you have to do. You know, and people could say that was a really negative unexpected. At the same time, it was very positive to watch people cooperating with one another, and we're just doing what we need to do in order to keep everyone safe and secure. And so, but at the same time, the unexpected is when all of a sudden you make a connection of, oh, you know so-and-so, and oh yeah, I went to your reunion, and oh, and all of a sudden the world gets so much bigger. And so it's always watching for the unexpected.
Yeah, I love that too. Yeah, you know, as Community Christ, we're just so homegrown in some ways. Like we just like, the fire alarm got pulled. Everybody step out. No big deal. Everybody get back in there and get to work. Let's get going. I remember that. So I've heard rumors that this year is going to be a little bit different than it has been in the past. So can we talk about how it's going to be just a little bit different than it has been?
Sure. I think the big thing that's a little bit different is that we are celebrating the 25th anniversary of the temple dedication, the temple in Independence, Missouri. It's hard to believe it's been 25 years, but we are that first opening weekend, we are really, that is our focus in celebrating the ministries of the temple and who we are becoming because of those ministries coming from the building of the temple. That opening weekend, you know, really Friday, April 5th, in the afternoon, the First Peoples will hold a service of blessing for the conference, and they will bless the conference chamber. If you happen to be in Independence early, and come by the conference chamber. It is a unique service to participate in. And then that will be followed by a service in the temple sanctuary that will honor and recognize many of our church's ministers and those who have given in special ways. That's also a place that we have given in addition to like the International Peace Award, we also give special recognition. There are three awards that are given: the Human Rights Award for those who are diligently working. I mean, we're all working for human peace and justice, and many are working for the human rights of others around the world. But we lift up one or two people who are specifically doing that, and just acknowledge the how they're making the world a better place. The International Youth Service Award, for those that have worked diligently with children and youth, and especially on the international platform, and the F. Henry Edwards Award, which it goes to a author who has written something for the Herald that they, the Herald editorial team makes that decision, and of an article that really has affected the life of the church. So those are kind of unique.
So and Susan, that award name is the Elbert A. Smith Award.
Oh, it is. You're right.
Yes. But your description of it is spot on. It's for excellence in writing and yes, something that helps, you know, propel the church forward.
Yes, so you are right.
Does that happen every year? Those awards are given every year on Friday before?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I ever knew that. And I've been in Independence during World Conference before. Thank you for letting us know that. That's really good. Yeah. And that's Friday, April 5th in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Excellent. Thank you.
I believe that starts like at 3 o'clock in the auditorium chamber with the First People's Ceremony, and then at 4 o'clock in the Temple Sanctuary with the service of honors and recognitions and the awards. And then we'll roll right into the First Presidency's reception at 5:30. Is that right, Tammy?
Correct. Yes.
And that's an opportunity to meet and greet all the members of the First Presidency and to shake their hand. And you know, many people want to come through, and it's an honor to meet them. And they are just always so nice and so generous in sharing with everybody who wants to come to that reception. And I also understand there will be other general officers who will be kind of just milling around and being a part of that evening there in the temple. So then, as a continuation of that 25th celebration, on Saturday morning, it starts bright and early at 7 a.m. with a number of rehearsals. The communion servers will rehearse how they will serve communion. There is training for those who coordinate the polling devices that we'll use. There's usher meetings, pulling groups of people together, because not everybody who is volunteering for conference lives in Independence. And Saturday morning early is when we pull all those groups together to kind of kick off conference. But then starting about 10 o'clock, there will be discussion and information sessions to learn more about proposed legislation and other ministries. Like Tammy said, sometimes something happened at last conference that they've been asked to study, and they come back and give a report at this conference. And so that all kind of happens within those discussion and information sessions, and those will be in classrooms and meeting rooms throughout the temple on Saturday morning. At the same time, we are inviting the community from 10 o'clock until noon. This is really exciting, to a community block party. This building has been in the Independence community for 25 years. You may live within the shadow of it. But we are inviting the community to come to a block party, to come explore the building. You may have never been in it, but come explore. We're going to have an international stage with singing and a variety of things. We're going to have some hands-on activities. One of them may be to fold a origami peace crane. One may be to have your face painted with a symbol of peace. Another, we are in the process of creating little miniature peace poles. Many congregations have a peace pole outside. We're creating little peace poles, and that is connected with that we will dedicate a peace, what they're calling a peace pillar, there off at the World Plaza at the temple during the 1 o'clock session. But it has 99 languages of peace on that pillar. And so you can, with our little homemade ones, you can choose which languages you want to write on your peace pillar to take home. Those are very cool. And then there's some other activities. We plan to have birthday cupcakes in celebration of the 25th year There will be tours. There will be people who will invite you up to check out the labyrinth, which is up on the rooftop. You can walk the worshipper's path. We hope to have organists who will be playing the organ and invite people up to ask questions or to touch and play a little bit and learn about the organ. And so it's just a whole morning. That 10 to 12 is a whole morning of just celebrating and having a party and inviting the community to share with this gift here within the Independence, Kansas City area.
That sounds so fun and so cool. I love that idea. And please, I don't know if this is too hard, but please tell me the cupcakes have frosting in the shape of the temple.
Well, that has been the request. So what we're anticipating for those cupcakes is you can actually walk up to the cupcake truck, the vendor, who will be there, and you can get your little cupcake right out of the truck.
Awesome. Very
and
cool.
So we will have, but yeah, we're excited about all of those pieces. And we also anticipate having some advocacy groups there within the Kansas City area, Kansas City Refugees or Peace Works or Central Mission with Community of Christ has their own peace and justice advocacy team that I believe hopefully will be a part of this, that you can learn about these organizations within the Kansas City area, but they can help you. If you don't know how to connect in your own community, they can help give you ideas of how to connect within your own community when you get back home. Or if you're interested in starting something, they are there as a resource to, you know, kind of spread the work of peace and justice around the world. So, yeah, it should be a very exciting morning.
That sounds really fun. So that is Saturday. Like usually people think conference starts on Saturday evening, but no, not this time. This is a Saturday morning at 10 to noon. And of course there's things happening on the Friday before, but people, mm-hmm. if you're flying in, fly in on Thursday. I mean, yep.
If you can be there, it's going to be a lot of fun. So once gets around to 12 noon, we'll take a little break. People can go have lunch. And we'll talk about food here in a little while, but at 1 o'clock, you're going to want to be in the temple sanctuary for a very, very special prayer for peace. 25 years ago at the dedication, I believe is, and Tammy, please correct me if I'm wrong, Wallace B. Smith, who was the president prophet at the time, wrote and offered the prayer for peace in that dedicatory event. And we anticipate that he is going to read that prayer and be present during that 1 o'clock prayer for peace that day, which is really cool. And then we will move into a time of recognition for those who gave of their service. Okay, you want to hear a cool story, Carla?
Always.
So I was doing research in the library last Saturday. I was in Independence, and I was going through old past records of building the temple and people who worked on planning the temple. And I came across this file folder that was all of the logs that had been kept of all the people who had volunteered their time in building the temple, the electricians, the people who pulled pipe, the people who had hung drywall, the people who had done all kinds of stuff, all handwritten 25 years ago, because computers were not at the top of everyone's list at that time. This was all handwritten, all the hours meticulously noted and tallied up at the bottom. And as I flipped through this file folder, which was a good inch thick, thousands and thousands of hours of the people who gave and sacrificed to build the temple. It was just, to me, it was really moving. And so as we go into that Saturday afternoon, we're going to recognize those that were involved in the building of the temple, those who were involved in the groundbreaking, those who were involved in the construction, those who participated in the dedicatory events, because it wasn't just one dedicatory event. They started dedication events in 1993, with the final dedication being at the conference of 1994. And so that service has a number of elements of remembering and recognition. And then we will, we are praying for good weather because the plan is, there's always plan B, but the plan is that the flag ceremony will be outside on the World Plaza.
And so we will
be invited to leave the sanctuary through the big bronze peace doors and spill out onto the World Plaza, where we will continue the service with the roll call of nations, the flag ceremony. We will dedicate the peace pole, peace pillar there on the grounds. And that is that first part of the afternoon.
That sounds so cool. I'm getting so super excited for World Conference already.
So once that finishes, there'll be a little bit of a break. And as Tammy said, conference is so exciting and so exhausting. But you want to do it all if you can. And so in the afternoon, there is an opportunity to interact with storytellers who were involved in the vision, the design, construction, and dedication of the temple. And also an opportunity to interact with the recipients of the 2019 International Peace Award in some educational workshops and some other opportunities. So that will happen probably 3:30 to 5-ish in that. So it's the second half of the afternoon. Break for dinner. And then that evening is that Saturday evening is the presentation of the International Peace Awards. And like we were saying earlier, this year there are two recipients. One is Sister Andrea Kantner of the Franciscan Mission Warehouse, and the other is Gary White of water.org, which are two organizations devoted to meeting basic human needs as an essential aspect of the pursuit of peace and justice. And so that's always an amazing evening and something to be present for. And then we roll right into Sunday morning with communion. And like I said earlier, you know, it's amazing, you know, communion with 4,000 of members and friends sharing together. And I mentioned Steve Veazey earlier, but President Veazey wrote also in the same Herald article, he said, for many, the opportunity to share in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper with sisters and brothers from many nations creates lifelong spiritual connections and new sights into the nature and scope of the gospel. So my very first communion, after I turned 8, I was baptized the week before conference, and my first communion was at conference. And so it's always a cool experience.
Did you expect every communion afterwards to be like that one?
No, I knew it couldn't be, but it was still very cool.
That's very cool.
So another thing that's a little different in the afternoon, a lot of times that is usually the first business meeting or legislative meeting of the conference. But this year in the afternoon, people are invited to the daily prayer for peace at 1 o'clock. And then we'll follow by a session of the first presidency. They're leading a session that right now is entitled Exploring Priesthood Ministry. Because the temple, part of the focus of the temple was for education and for priesthood development. And so they are going to lead a conversation exploring priesthood ministry, and it'll be in the temple sanctuary. And the session is focused on priesthood ministry, but everyone is welcome to be a part of that conversation with the first presidency.
I'm going to interrupt just a second to remind the listeners that most all of our services will be live webcast. So if they can't attend but are interested, like for instance in this priesthood conversation with the presidency, they can join worship services and some of these special gatherings that we have.
That's right. That's a good thing to point out, Tammy. And so, yeah, if you're not here in Independence, join us via webcast, and that's all listed on the World Conference website, and easy to connect. And then, like we mentioned earlier, Sunday evening is the First Presidency service led by the First Presidency, and President Veazey will address the church, it's always a really significant part of the conference week. And so
one other thing I would hold up is that we are offering or hosting again a village expo where we have folks from around the church, different ministries, some of our world church teams will be together, some field sponsored booths will be there, some of our affiliates, and it's just a really nice time to go and explore, learn, network with other people, catch up with old friends. So there's always a hive of activity happening in the lower auditorium, and we would invite people to come and be part of that as well.
Yeah, there's a really significant learning opportunity down in the lower auditorium with that village, too. I mean, I think Project Zion will have a booth there, as well as many, many different other aspects of church life throughout the world. So I just think it's a really good place to just wander around if you have an extra 20 minutes or so.
It's a highlight. And Herald House will have a bookstore that you can browse and pick up the latest and greatest. We have a number of new resources coming out, books primarily. Linda Booth, Apostle Linda Booth, just released a book. Oh, Tammy, what's the name of the book? It escapes me at the moment. Do you remember?
God is All Around or something?
Oh, it's something like that. Yes. I'm excited to read that one. Dale Luffman is just finishing up the first of two commentaries on the Doctrine and Covenants, and the first one will be released. But all these new resources, we anticipate that there also could quite possibly be a book signing. So you can pick up your book at the bookstore and go meet the author and have them sign it and ask questions and interact. And that's always some people really look forward to that. And so that's also a highlight for many.
So we're talking about all the things that are just going to be a little bit different too. I have heard a rumor about my beloved Laurel Club. Is the rumor true?
The rumor is true.
Oh,
I know for those who have come to conference for years and years and years, it is with a sad note that we say that the Laurel Club as an organization made a decision at the end of 2018 to formally disorganize. They have offered their ministry of serving food for over 100 years. And they actually started because someone recognized people. They had general conference gatherings, and that's when people came to conference and they lived in tents and they cooked outside. And a group of ladies said, we should organize this. And so a group called Laurel Club was born over 100 years ago that served, I have no idea how many, probably thousands of meals to not only just World Conference, but to the community and independence. It was a huge part of the church's life. But due to age and a variety of other circumstances, they decided they just couldn't go on. But like you, Carla, I mean, it is sad.
And, it is a little bit sad. I mean, it was just an easy place to go eat, and like you always got a friendly smile down there, and it was
right.
I think even I've eaten 1,000 meals down there. I don't know.
For you and I and Tammy, it probably could be close. but for this conference, you know, we aren't just kind of throwing up our hands and saying, "Oh well." I have been working with a number of different vendors. We don't have all the pieces tacked down yet, but here's what we envision this is going to look like. That at lunchtime, there will still be a simple warm meal. If you want to come through the lunch line, you can eat in the dining room. And we're talking like lasagna and salad and a breadstick, or a potato bar with all the fixings that go with it, or taco salad, you know, a variety of things like that. There may be on the other side of the line, maybe always pizza or something simple, but more of the warm side. there's a group of ladies and gentlemen who are going to operate the snack bar that we've had for a number of years. And so the snack bar will still be there. There will be the grab and go lunch bags or boxes. I don't know what the container will be. For those, primarily we ask people to reserve those for people going to the lunch and learns, but if there's those left over, that's another opportunity. And then really excited, I will have more detail probably next week, but there's a restaurant group on the Independent Square. I'm also working with the Independent Square Association, which is all the businesses on the square in Independence. And then with the city, we are looking at a transportation option that you could come down to the corner there between the auditorium and the temple, maybe get on a little bus and it'll take you up to the square. And all of those restaurants on the square are creating what they're calling 10-minute menus. And if you go into a restaurant and say, I'm with World Conference, or show your badge, oh, well, we've got this 10-minute menu. You can choose from maybe three items or so that are still full entrees, but you can be eating within like 10 minutes is the idea.
What a wonderful idea. That's wonderful.
And then you can go back out and get on the bus and they'll bring you back. Or if it's a lovely day, walk back to the campus. It's not that far. So, you know, and then we will be serving one of the other ministries that Laurel Club provided and took care of in connection with World Church is working with the international, a number of our international groups that need to be fed. And so we will still be providing those services also in some form. So I've told people it will look a little different. It'll feel a little different. At times it might be a little bumpy. We are planning to have a brochure that will list all of these options so you can study it and decide. But, you know, bear with us. It's going to be okay. And people will get fed. And the best part about eating is visiting with the people you went to lunch with.
That's true. And I hope that people on this podcast are now starting to understand the scope of what it takes to put on a world conference, what it takes to seriously feed people lunch and dinner for 7 days, and the number of people that will be there. It's a huge, like, even that part, which is kind of like a small part of the huge wheel that this is on, it's a really big. I just want you listeners to know that Susan and Tammy are incredible. That's what I'm trying to say. And I'm not saying it very well. So it's a huge, huge job to put on World Conference. And there's a reason why it takes 3 years to plan it.
Mm-hmm. And it takes all of us doing this together. I mean, what Tammy and I and others are starting to recognize, this conference, we are going to need more volunteers than we've had in the past. We need volunteers to maybe wipe down tables in the dining room, or a group of volunteers who are willing to vacuum the floor when we get done with lunch, or a group of volunteers who might be willing to serve whatever's on the line that day. But at the same time, when you volunteer, you meet new people, you get to interact with a whole different group, and you also get to meet the conference in a very different fashion also. And so when we talk about volunteering, it's we need ushers. We need people who are willing to take up the offering. We need people who are willing to pass out programs, worship outlines.
Yeah, we also have opportunities for young people who might want to serve on the Youth Service Corps. That is a place for, are they all teenagers and 12 and above, maybe, I think. Those youngsters or young ones get to do a variety of things. So if there are people coming to conference with young kids, or we have conference kids activities for the young kids, and then we have this other opportunity for volunteer service for older youth people.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, if somebody who's listening to this has a volunteering heart, then they should, how should they get a hold of you to let them know they want to help out?
There will be a link on the website but I believe right now there is an email address on the conference website. If they email and just say, I want to volunteer, we'll make sure it gets to the right place.
Good deal. Now, Tammy, you mentioned conference kids. Do you want to speak a little bit more about that? I know we've kind of glossed over it a little bit. Do you want to speak any more about that?
Sure. So conference kids is an opportunity for children, primarily of delegates who are attending conference with their children, so that the kids have some activities that take place during the time when the parents are involved in their quorum and caucus meetings and in the legislative sessions. And so we have this conference, every conference, it's a wonderful experience, but this particular conference, we have a dynamic duo, Loretta and Wendy, who have come together, and their goal is to make this activity for children be like Spectacular is for teenagers at Graceland. And so they are creating a wonderful village that will transport the kids back in Bible time. And they're talking about bringing in sheep, and they'll have a well and different activities. But the kids who are a part of that need to register ahead of time, and there is a fee for them to join. All of that information is on the registration page. But when the kids are there, they get to choose different activities that they do, photography class or cooking, games, and they'll learn together from international guests that come in. And it's just the things that we've been learning about it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm really grateful for the leadership of that, because they're going to connect the kids in a way that will help them connect to the bigger World Conference, even though they'll be in a separate location when that happens. So we encourage delegates who are bringing children to enroll those kids in that program.
For sure. That sounds like a lot of fun. So I remember I was working in Independence 3 years ago when we had conference. And I remember we went to a lunch right before conference to, have everybody who was working down in Independence be prepared and be ready. And Susan, I remember you saying, like, I don't remember a lot about that lunch, but I do remember you saying how many extra rolls of toilet paper we had to buy in order to be ready for World Conference. So are there like some other little fun facts like that that you can put out there for us?
Yes. And so since you mentioned toilet paper, Carla, we usually buy approximately like 4,800 extra rolls of toilet paper. That's a lot of toilet paper.
Yeah, I mean, I have so many jokes that I probably can't say on the podcast about that. So many jokes.
So when you're out on the World Plaza for the flag ceremony, that Saturday afternoon, it's a brick plaza. It has a representation of a world map laid out in bricks on that world plaza. And so do you remember how many bricks there are, Carla, that you're going to be walking on?
I remember there's 4,800 rolls of toilet paper, but no, I don't know how many bricks.
There's 16,500 approximately bricks that make up that representation of the world.
That's amazing.
World plaza.
I remember there's a teeny, teeny, tiny one for Hawaii.
Yes, there is a teeny tiny partial of a brick. So during the week, we do lots and lots of walking. So if you have your Fitbit or whatever you do to monitor your steps, you'll get lots of walking in. If you were to walk all the ramps in the auditorium, which many of us have done many, many times, there are over 1 mile of ramps in the auditorium.
I cannot believe that. When I was a math teacher in Independence, Missouri, I actually brought my students to the auditorium one time, and we measured the hypotenuse of that triangle. We measured a ramp. I was pretty proud of myself.
That is very cool.
I didn't know there was a mile of ramps, though. That's amazing.
So one of the things we haven't mentioned really, Carla, is we've talked about the number of people coming from around the world, but we haven't really said much about translations, and that we will simultaneously translate in a variety of languages. We definitely will translate we will communicate in the three official languages of the church, which are English, French, and Spanish. But then we will also translate, and I know I'm going to miss something here, in German, in Portuguese, in Tahitian, in, Tammy, jump in, help me.
Dutch, that one. I just don't remember. There are several.
Yeah, there's at least,
I think you said 8 or 9 of them.
I was going to say I think there's at least 9. And so when we talk about, when we say simultaneous translations, for those who are listening, you know, if I'm talking on this podcast, if you wanted to be listening in French, somebody would be simultaneously translating what I am saying in French at the same time. So we have a core of volunteer translators that will be translating throughout the week of conference. But at the same time, we will also be printing everything in the 3 official languages of the church. And what Larry Tyree, who is the head of our translations department, told me 3 years ago, that at that time, when I asked him the question, you know, how many words have been translated so far? He said at that point, there had been 109,030 words translated so far. And if you said that in all the languages, that makes it over 762,180 words. That's 750,000 words at that point, and conference hadn't started yet.
Whoa.
So we anticipate something very similar this time around, because when we communicate with each other, when we're able to communicate in the languages that are comfortable and familiar to us, we share so much more together. And so, first of all, thank you to all of our translators. And thank you for everyone for their patience as we try and make sure everyone hears the message. So that's kind of a cool fact.
Translation is always so, so important. And our translators work so hard. I remember when we would get an inspired counsel from the president during World Conference Week, and then the translators would have to translate that in like one night or something in order for their people to read it. And like, it would take them all night long, because translating is not an easy task. It's not usually like word for word. There's this same word in Korean is the same in English. It takes nuance and it takes a lot of work. And I'm very amazed by translators, completely amazed.
One of the phrases that conference attendees will hear regularly is slow down. And that is, it gets kind of people towards the middle of the week start laughing at it when they hear it, because it's a regular phrase, but it's helpful when we're speaking to speak slowly enough so that our translators have a chance to keep up with what we're saying, so that they can turn those words around in the other languages that need to communicate. And so for me, even though I think it's tiring to hear those words at times, it reminds us over and over again that we are a wider body of people, a larger church, and that we need to be inclusive of everyone.
That's really true. That's super true. It's a sign of respect to speak slowly. Yes. I get told to slow down a lot.
Carla?
Weird. So a lot of people kind of forget that, well, maybe they don't forget, but a major portion of World Conference is those legislative sessions. And we have a very important guest that shows up every single time, and his name is Robert. His last name is Rules of Order, right? And that's what we follow. And so how do we keep track about all of those things? Who are the people that keep track of that for us?
We have a group of registered parliamentarians who are probably the best versed. They are certified in Robert's Rules, and they keep us on track. We use 7 full-time parliamentarians, which if you want to make a connection, what I understand from Lynn Young, who was is the head of all those parliamentarians, he said that is 7 is more than the number of parliamentarians who serve for the United States Republican or Democratic conventions.
No way.
It kind of blows my mind. It's like, wait a minute, are we that unruly? We need that. But we also share the load between the number of people. But on the flip side of that, over the last 6, 7, 8 years or so, we have moved into a session of common consent often.
Yeah.
Where we don't follow the rules, where we listen to one another. We have a set of parameters or set of boundaries, but it's very different than Robert's rules that are very black or white. When we stop to have conversation and try and find common ground, it becomes very, very different. And that also is a reflection and then also a learning that I think the westernized world has started to learn from other parts of the globe, other nations, that, you know, they sit down and they talk about it. They sit down and hash it out back and forth. And that takes time, you know, versus, okay, Robert's Rules has a rule that says I can call for the question. We may not be done talking about it, but that rule says we have to vote now, or we have to vote to see if we're ready to vote. Whereas if we're in common consent, we listen to 10, 20 people, and then we use our little electronic, because this is a podcast and there's no visual, little polling devices. Somebody, one of you guys, how do you explain a polling device? It's a little, it looks like a little remote control that you can survey the group. How do you feel about this on a scale of 1 to 10? And then we post the results electronically up on the screen and we decide, okay, we're going to talk about this some more. Or at this point, we're just going to stop and we're going to have some prayer. We're going to have a moment of blessing. We'll pick this back up tomorrow. And so that's a very different avenue, a different way of conducting ourselves than what is probably burned into our DNA.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. In fact, we will be doing a podcast on common consent and that process of common consent and help people understand that before they come to conference as well.
That's excellent. Great to hear that. So, but yeah, the legislative sessions, often people, oh, they're so long and it gets boring. Well, it is long and it does sometimes get boring. The seats are the same size they were when we put them in the auditorium in the 1950s. It's just that many of us have gotten a lot bigger, and so the seats are not very comfortable at times.
They're pretty small. They're even small for someone my size, and I'm only 5'4". They're yeah. even small for me.
I would say that they are not comfy. But, like I said at the beginning, it's conducting the business of the church. It's, agreeing that here's the financial reports, holding people accountable. Here's our budget that we're going to say we're going to support. And if we raise our hand or we vote in the affirmative that we're going to support these things as a church, then it is our accountability as to follow through and as we move forward.
That's true. That's true. I do want to say something about those seats. I think, I'm pretty sure that we had Lamar Hunt, who is the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. I believe his funeral was in the auditorium a couple years ago. And if Kansas City Chiefs players, football players, huge football players can fit in those seats, we can fit in those seats, people. We can do it. We can do it.
Oh, goodness. So
are there other fun facts or any? Oh, wait, we haven't even talked about the theme of the 2019 World Conference. What is the theme of the World Conference?
Discover.
Discover. Discover.
With an exclamation point.
I love exclamation points. And what does that mean? What are we discovering?
We are discovering.
Every day we're discovering something different.
Right.
We're using the focus of the John 4 scripture where Jesus encounters the woman at the well as a focus for us for the week. And so every day we will be discovering a different aspect of her story and how she comes to find her voice and share her mission and feel accepted and understand her place. And so the whole idea is for helping us discover our way forward by discovering things in her story and discovering things together.
Oh, that's beautiful. For some reason, I have not caught that, the woman at the well part of that.
Yeah, I don't think we've not really shared that widely. So I guess it's sort of a secret.
Oh, well, it's not going to be a secret for much longer. No.
Definitely. Yeah, so each, and like Tammy said, we're exploring different parts of it. So each day, we've had daily themes in the past. So this time, you know, we're going to discover peace. We're going to discover living water. We're going to discover whole life response. Discover mystery. Discover wholeness. Discover unexpected opportunities. Discovering our voice and discovering our future.
That sounds wonderful. That makes me really excited too. I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah.
So Tammy, Susan, we've come to about the end of our podcast. Is there something that you wish I would have asked or something that you wanted to say and I missed it, or anything else about World Conference?
I think we have covered a lot of ground. And it takes all of us. Like I said, we have an operations team of close to 30 people that have people working with them. I mean, it just is a ripple effect. But as you're saying this, it's kind of like, I would love to, like I said, I love people. I love the unexpected. If you've heard this podcast before you get to conference and you're at conference, come say hi. Let us know that you heard us, and we'd love to interact and get to meet new people.
And I would say that we welcome your attendance at conference. And even if you are only able to participate through downloading the conference app, which will be free, and then you can have materials, or joining us by the live webcast, that's wonderful. If this is not your year to come to conference, I would encourage you to find a time in the future to come to a world conference. It opens your eyes to a world that's both larger and smaller than the one that you're in. It helps you see beyond where you are and in your congregation. It gives you a context for the worldwide church, but it also draws you closer to those disciples that do live and serve around the world in a way that helps you understand that the world is a little bit smaller maybe than you thought. So if you can't make it this time, please plan to come sometime, because it will change your world, change your life, and let you know that you're part of something bigger.
Amen. Thank you so much, both Susan and Tammy, for being on the podcast and for describing conference to us. I mean, I'm always excited to go to World Conference, but now I'm really excited about all the cool things that are going to be happening and celebrating the 25th year of the temple and all of those wonderful ideas that you've had and you've been working on for 3 years. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carla.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.